Again, we're sorry for the difficulties. You know, sometimes you have those when you're messing with electronics. But it was because we was on something that we shouldn't have been. Well, again, good morning. Shabbat Shalom to those that are here and to those watching. We hope everyone is joined in and tuned in by now. And we just want to, you know, we just want to be thankful. I'm so thankful for today. So thankful for the time that we're living in. Amidst all the chaos and the wilderness that we're going through, there's one thing we can't forget. And it's one thing that the children of Israel forgot, is that even though we're in this wilderness, he's still with us. He's still leading us. He's still walking beside us each and every day. And then we don't have to fear. We don't have to fear what's going on. We just got to trust and obey and believe in him and believe that he'll do and he'll take care of us. So here we are. We are counting the Omer. We're on part two, preparing for Shavuot. And Pastor started last week, and I was so encouraged with that word last week. It was on time. It was perfect. It was powerful, and it was very encouraging. And if you haven't, you know, really listened to it, go back and listen to it again. Because, I mean, I didn't get to the comments. I didn't get to, because my phone was the one we was watching at the house. So I went back after, and Pastor was preaching. I don't know if you've seen the comments, but Pastor Charlotte was preaching also. Her comments was so encouraging. It's so encouraging to me. I quoted a couple of them. You're going to hear me quote a couple of them in this message. Because, you know, they grumble. And one thing she mentioned was, she said, grumble less and pray more. Wow. Grumble less and pray more. It's a good, good lesson that we can learn. So, I mean, we serve an incredible Father. Incredible God. He's so good to us. And I just thank him for today. I'm really, really honored and blessed for what's happening, what's going on, and how we can be that light in to our community and to the world, and taking a stand for his word. Amen. He's so good. So we're going to go ahead and get started. It says counting the Omer, part two, preparing for Shavuot. And notice it's telling us to count. Count these days. Count 50 days. You know, there's a lot of things we're counting life. You know, when it gets close to our birthdays, maybe not so much that when you get 40, 50, 60, you don't count. But, you know, some kids, 20s, 30s, well, my wife still counts, she says. So, you know, you count. And as you're counting, you get excited as the days get closer. There's an anticipation. You're anticipating that day. You know, you see cruises, when you're booking a cruise, people got countings going on. They count the minutes. They count down to the seconds. And, you know, there was holidays that we would count. We would get so excited and so pumped as those days would get closer. Counting the Shavuot should be 10 times better. It should even be close to us counting our birthdays. It should exceed that by far, counting down the Shavuot. There should be an anticipation every day. If you're not counting, if you don't have your little counter or something to mark the days, I advise you to get one. Because as you count, as you put in that day 14 and that day 12, 11, all those days you counting up to Shavuot, you one day closer, and it should be, something should be stirring up inside you. Why? He says, because that's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, but we need that. We need his word. We need his spirit to just saturate itself on us. We're counting the days to Shavuot, counting for the outpouring of his Holy Spirit. And we don't know how bad we need it until we need it. And listen, right now, the time that we're in, we need it. We need it. We need it to lead us and guide us in every situation of our life. And he said that's what he'll send it to us for. So we're going to go ahead and get started in Leviticus 23, 15 In 16, it says, and from the morrow after the Sabbath, this is Passover week, from the day you brought the sheaf of the wave offering as first fruits, you shall count for yourselves 7 completed Sabbaths. Until the morrow after the 7th Sabbath, you count 50 days. Then you shall bring a new grain offering to Yah. And we're going to go ahead and jump into Exodus 16. That's where we're going to take our text from, starting with verse 1. But there are 6 points that we're going to bring out today. And number 1, the first one we're going to start out with, it says, the people grumbled again as soon as they went into the wilderness again. They grumbled again. Now, he brought them out from Egypt by miraculous, powerful signs and wonders. Crossed through the Red Sea. They get into the wilderness, and Pastor brought this out, this way spoke on last week, 3 days into the wilderness, just 3 days, they started grumbling about water. We need water. We want water. They was thirsty. They wanted water, 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 water. They forgot that he provided all what he had provided for them up leading up to that part. And they was just crying about that they didn't have water. They was thirsty. And we're seeing that the water, when he brought them to the water, was bitter. Moses prayed, seen a tree. Out of all the trees that was in the wilderness, he seen a tree from prayer, from praying and seeking the Father. And the water became where they was able to drink it. But just 3 days into it, they was grumbling. And here we are again. The people grumble again as soon as they went to the wilderness again. In Exodus 16, verse 1 and 2. It says, and they set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second new moon. Now, we know when they left Egypt, it was on the 15th day, and it was on the first moon of the 15th, the first month, the first moon. So here we see the 15th day of the second moon, so that's about 30 days later. After they're going out of the land of Mizraim, and all the congregation of Israel, the children of Israel, grumble against Moshe and Aharon and Aaron in the wilderness. And we're going to see, as we get along in this message, they grumbled against Moshe and Aharon and Aaron in the wilderness, but Yah called it grumbling against him. When you're grumbling against the leaders, Yah said, you're grumbling against me. It's towards me. So in Matthew 12, verse 34 through 37, listen to the words of Yeshua. It says, brood of adders. Your Bible might say vipers. He called them vipers. How are you able to speak what is good being wicked? For the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. So listen, you want to know what's inside a person's heart? You want to know what's inside your heart? Examine the words that you speak. Listen to what they say. You know, because the scripture says in Luke 6 that from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak it. So you know, you want to know what a person's heart and what their intentions? Listen to their words. The good man brings forth what is good from the good treasure of his heart, and the wicked man brings forth what is wicked from the wicked treasures. And I say to you that for every idle word men speak, they shall give an account of it in the day of judgment. Every idle word that a man speaks, old whim, old lady, or boy or girl, they shall give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words, from by your words, my words, you shall be declared righteous. And by your words, you shall also be declared unrighteous. So there's two things. You're either going to be declared righteous by the things you say and speak, or you're going to be declared unrighteous. I want to be declared righteous. I want to examine myself. Before I speak it, I want to think before I speak it. Just because I can say it don't make it right. Number 2, when you're in the wilderness and think about how good it was in Egypt, in Mizraim, you grumble You forgetting the bondage of slavery Yah brought you out of. And we do. There's times in my life that I did. I forgot the bondage of slavery. You forget how afflicted your life was. You forget the burden, the hard bondage that was on your life. You forget those things. Exodus 16:3, verse 3, still in the text. We're going to go through the whole chapter of 16 in Exodus. It says, "And the children of Israel said to them, 'If only we had died by the hand of Yah in the land of Mishraim.'" Notice the words that they're speaking. "You should have killed this Yah. Yahweh, you should have let us die right there in Egypt. When we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to satisfaction." They wanted to die. They said, "You should have let us die in Egypt. You brought us all this way over here with no water, no bread, no meat. We had all of that in Egypt. We want to trade the meat and bread and water for the bondage and slavery that they was putting on us. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to put all this assembly to death with hunger." They lost sight. You seen how they lost sight of their provider, of their protector? James 3, 5 and 6. James 3, 5 and 6. It says, "So too the tongue is a little member, yet boasts greatly. See how a little fire kindles a great forest." See how a little fire kindles a great forest. And you see that. I was reminded when I read that. When I was about 12, 11 or 12, was living on the bayou. And as soon as you come out of Foster's Canal, we was there. And Scooby and his family house was on side of us. And then you can walk. You can walk. And it was a little trail you go through. It was tall grass. And then it was, you know, the marshland behind it. And you can, you know, you walk through there, you can go to the church that was right there. Then you go to different ones' houses, but you can walk through the whole thing there. So I had some matches, and the grass was brown, like dead brown. And we had a couple, and maybe Dustin and them was with me. And I was just walking, I was just throwing the matches like that as I was walking through the trail. Well, lo and behold, the fire took, and let me tell you, it burned from my house to the church, and all the way up Foster's Canal. Foster's Canal, so you ride down that Shell Road. If you ever been down Foster's Canal, that Shell Road, on this side of the bank, it lit that thing on fire. And there's a little ravine about halfway, and good thing, because that's where it stopped at, about halfway of Foster's Canal. But from that brown grass, that forest, a great forest, just from a couple of matches I was throwing, and I have never been so scared in my life. I just thought my dad was going to beat me so bad that I was scared. But if you know my dad, it needed to be burned, son. Not the response I wanted. Well, I was expecting. That was the perfect response I wanted, but not what I was expecting. And you know, it could have damaged. Because I could have, if I would have some mindset, if I would have been a disturbed child, I could have, you know, I would have took that and said, "Oh, I can get away with anything." But I thank God that He didn't let me think that way. But it was a serious fire from a little match, just throwing matches, not even thinking. And we got to be careful with this tongue, because listen, as believers and as brothers and sisters, you never know when a brother or sister is dry. And you use this little tongue and can say something that'll damage their life. They're not getting the proper water that they need. And you can say it, and it can be deadly to them. Not only to the believers, but what about a non-believer who's dry? They dry. A non-believer is dry. They have no word. They have no word. And we have to be very, very careful our choice of words, because that we can light a great fire and they won't come back from it. It'll only be by the grace of God that they can come back from it. So we have to choose. We have to learn how to tame this tongue. We have to learn how to bridle this thing. because it can be deadly. It says, and the tongue is a fire, the world of unrighteousness. Among our members, the tongue is set, the one defiling the entire body and setting on fire the wheel of life. And it is set on fire by Gehenna. So think about that. This tongue can defile the whole entire body. Hebrews 3, 7 through 19. Listen to Hebrews. Therefore, as the set apart spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, we need to be listening. We need to be listening to his voice. That's what we need to be seeking. His spirit and his voice saying, speak to me. Let me know what I need to be doing. Let me know what I need to be saying. What I should say, what I shouldn't say. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness. He's just reflecting on this Exodus account. The Hebrews, that's what it's reflecting on. He says, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness. When your fathers tried me, proved me, and saw my work 40 years. They tried me and proved me after seeing my work for 40 years. They forgot all what I'd done for them. Therefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. Notice what you go astray in your heart. Listen, we're preparing for Shavuot. It's counting the Omer, preparing for Shavuot. We got to search our heart and our lives daily as we're preparing for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They always go astray in their heart. And what the scripture says, the heart is deceitful above all else. Don't trust your heart. Don't trust it. Therefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Psalms 95, 7 through 11. Look out, brothers, lest there be any of you with a wicked heart of unbelief in falling away from the living of Elohim. So that's what that heart, that wicked heart does to you. It causes you to doubt. It causes you to think, can God, can he do this? He did this, but can he do that? Is he able to do this for me? Cause you to doubt. And when you doubt, it causes you to fall away from the living Elohim. But encourage one another daily. Listen, I hope today when you leave here, you encourage. I hope you, because that's what we need to do. It says, but encourage one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened by the deceivableness of sin. Lest any of you be hardened by the deceivableness of sin. Listen, sin is very deceitful. It'll find the smallest little crack and it'll plant itself in your heart. And it says, you know, the scripture says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little bit of sin is very deceitful and it'll cause you to harden your heart against the living Elohim. And that's a dangerous place. That's why we got to continue to examine ourselves daily, preparing ourselves for the power that he's going to give us on day 50 of Shavuot. For we have become partakers of Messiah if we hold fast the beginning of our trust firm to the end. He that endures to the end. Hold fast the beginning. Notice, you don't start a race and stop in the middle and think that you're done. Like you finished. I did it, you know. If it's just a little marathon, no medals or nothing given. It's just running a marathon. And, you know, no matter how long it takes you, but you have to finish. You start strong in the beginning. You're going fast. But hold on. You got to stand firm all the way to the end. While it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebel? Was it not all who came out of Mizraim, led by Moshe, led by Moses? And with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with those who have sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter into his rest, but to those who did not obey? I don't know if you caught on to last week and so far today that the key ingredients to all this is obedience. You have to obey. And this is another passage. This is another comment that Pastor Charlotte made last Shabbat. I'm telling you, she was preaching along with Pastor. You couldn't hear it, but you can see her words as she was printing. It says, with obedience comes life, and life everlasting with the Father. With obedience. Notice he says, if you do not obey, you do not enter into my rest. If you don't obey, you don't enter into my rest. But with obedience come life, and life everlasting with the Father. That's encouraging. Hallelujah. So we see that they were unable to enter in because of unbelief. Number three, Yah will rain bread from heaven to see if they walk in my Torah or not. It was grumbling so much, and it was, for, you know, they forgot that, you know, he's the provider. He said, I'm going to show them. He said, I'm going to rain bread from heaven just to see. I'm going to try them just to see if they're going to walk in my Torah or not. Exodus 16:4. And Yah said to Moshe, he said to Moses, see, I am raining bread from the heavens for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day in order to try them whether they walk in my Torah or not. Notice he wants them to gather a day's portion every day except on day six. Because in any other day, if you keep it, it'll turn to worm. It'll stink. But on day six, he says, gather enough for 2 days. See the provision? See the power? Deuteronomy 30:15-20. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. Deuteronomy 30:15-20. See, I have set before you today life and good and death and evil. Notice what he's setting before us. And that I am commanding you today to love Yah your Elohim, to walk in his ways, to guard his commands, his laws, and his right rulings. Walk in his ways, guard his commands, his laws, and his right rulings. Listen, and listen to the benefits when you do that. Listen to his benefits. You shall live and increase. And Yah your Elohim shall bless you in the land which you go to possess. You're going to live, increase, you're going to be blessed, and you're going to possess. That's powerful. The benefits you get when you just guard his commands, his laws, and his right rulings. And it says you love Yah your Elohim. And how you show him that you love him? By keeping all what he's asking us to keep. Deuteronomy 30:17, it says, but if your heart, that's the but you don't want. You know, we read scriptures and we get to some bad parts and it says, but Elohim, we love those. This is one you're not caring for this, but. But if your heart turns away and you do not obey and shall be drawn away and shall bow down to other mighty ones and serve them. We was drawn away. Before we got back to the Torah and got back to his ways, we was drawn away. We was bowing down to other mighty ones and we were serving them. But how many know that a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stirred up in our life? And we're not bowing down to those mighty ones no more. Amen. So good to us. And serve them. It says, I have declared to you today that you shall certainly perish. He's declaring it today that you shall certainly perish if you shall not prolong your days in the land which you are passing over the Jordan to enter and possess. Want you to notice, with obedience, with keeping his, he says you'll live and increase. You'll possess the land. Disobedience, you will not prolong your days in the land which you are passing over in the Jordan, to enter and possess them. You obey, you get all that. You disobey, you won't get anything but debt. You shall surely perish, shall certainly perish. I have called the heavens and the earth as witnesses today against you. Notice where this a light bulb came on. I read that. Because if you go in the Torah, it says by the two or three witnesses, they can, if in the company of two or three witnesses, they can stone you. You are to die. And notice what he says. I have called the heavens and the earth two witnesses today against you. I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. And how wonderful. You know, it's like having that teacher in school. You have your favorite. You love that teacher because they give you the answers to the test. That's your favorite teacher. You don't like a teacher that ain't giving you the answers to the test. And listen to our teacher. Listen to the Father. He says, I'm putting before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, you shall choose life. He's telling you, choose life. I'm giving you the answer. I'm setting two of them in front of you, but I'm telling you which one to choose. Why? So that you live, both you and your seed, both you, your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, your seed. Choose life. Because not only do your life depend upon it, but your kids' life depend upon it. Your grandkids' life depend upon it. Generation after generation, their life depends on it. Choose life. Today, we choose life, people. We choose life so that you live, both you and your seed. To love Yah, your Elohim, verse 20, to obey his voice and to cling to him. Cling to him. Obey his voice and cling to him. For he is your life, the length of your days, to dwell in the land which Yah swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. Obey his voice and listen, cling to him. He is our life, church. He is our life and he is the length of our days. Hallelujah. Number 4, Yah introduces the Sabbath to show his faithfulness, but the people grumble more. The people grumble more. Exodus 16, 5 through 7. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Notice, only gather enough in day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Gather just enough for that day. But here we are on day 6. He says, I want you to gather twice as much as they gather daily. And Moshe and Aharon said to all the children of Israel, at evening you shall know that Yah has brought you out of the land of Mizraim. And in the morning you shall see the esteem of Yah. In the morning you're going to see his glory. He's about to show you for all your grumbling that you're about to do. He's about to show you he's faithful, but he's about to give you what your heart desires, and it's not his desire. He's about to give them what they wanted, what their desire was. And in the morning, you shall see the glory of Yah, for he hears your grumblings against who? Against Yah. He hears it against him. You might be saying it to your leaders. You might be saying it to your pastors or whatever leader, you leaders, but Yah sees it as grumbling against him. And what are we that you grumble against us? Exodus 22, 28, do not revile an Elohim, nor curse a ruler of your people. Do not revile Elohim, Exodus 22, 28. Nor curse a ruler of your people. Listen to Hebrews 13, 17. Obey those leading you and be subject to them, for they watch for your lives as having to give an account. Obey those leading you and be subject to them, for they watch for your lives as having to give an account. Listen, you know, we have worship leaders. Why are they singing that song? What? That song's slow. That song's fast. Be careful. You're grumbling against them, but Yah sees that grumbling as against him. You pastors, why are we doing this on this day? Why they did that skit? Be careful with the grumbling. Yah sees it again. The pastor gets the worst out of everybody. Be careful. That's not a job you sign up for. Nobody signs up to be a pastor. It just don't happen. We have many sign-up sheets. And, you know, people put their names down. I can promise you, you put a sign-up sheet, who wants to be a pastor? It's coming back blank. Nobody wants to be a pastor. Because, you know, as we was doing that staff, me and Brother Herman, before we built it for Pastor last Shabbat, just as an encouragement to him, you know, I mentioned that to Brother Herman because we was just talking. You know, because it's so easy. So easy if you just got to worry about your four, your five. But when you got a congregation of people that you worry about daily, listen, it says, for they watch for your lives. Every day they pray. Every day, Father, what about them? What word I have that can be an encouragement to them? It's so easy to just worry about your family. But when you got a whole flock of people that you got to worry about, and trust me, you do worry. You can get a little discouraged at times. You can't. That's the worst thing about, you know, we think, oh, man, Pastor Num's okay. He's a pastor. I mean, he's always in the Word. Still needs encouragement sometimes. Still needs encouragement. And listen, and that's not all the time that you have someone that'll come in and share an encouraging word with you. But there's times that the Father sends someone to give you an encouraging word. But listen, you can go to this every single day. And it's full of encouraging words. I mean full. You got to fall in love with it. You got to believe what it says, and you got to obey what it says. And there's some things that might not suit right with you. You might be, it might rub you the wrong way. That's how you know what you got to fix. But this here, let it be the only encouragement that you need. You go to his word, and it'll hear and encourage you. But yeah, nobody wants to be a pastor. I can promise you. But when the calling's on your life, what are you going to do? You're going to obey or you're going to disobey? You're going to do it. Moses, I'm pretty sure Moses, 40 years he heard grumbling. 40 years. Why you brought us here? Why you took us out of there? And Yah said, hey, you're not grumbling against them. You're grumbling against me. So you got to watch. Watch your words. Obey those leading you and be subject to them, for they watch for your lives as having to give an account. And that's another thing that Brother Herman brought out to my attention about that staff. You know, he wanted to make it look rough, like he wanted to put like teeth marks in it. Because how many times he said that, you know, Pastor came for me. He said he came for you, he told me. And he did. You know, that a good shepherd leaves that flock and goes back for that one when that one's in trouble. And he says, they watch for your lives, and we're blessed and honored that we have a leader that we have that watches for our lives daily. It's an honor. It's a blessing. As having to give an account, because notice, they're going to give an account for what you say. To your account, when you up here speaking, you're going to give an account on judgment. It's either going to be righteous or unrighteous. Let them do so with joy. It should be a joy to come up here and joy to share the word with you. and not be able to and not groaning. Shouldn't be a burden. Oh man, I got to go speak in front of those people today. Not dumb people, Lord. Moses, what Moses, you think he was tired? He said, Lord, kill me. He said, take my life. But what he said, no, he said, I'm going to blot them out. It says, let them do so with joy and not groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. It's not fair to them. Pray for us, for we trust that we have a good conscience, desiring to behave well in every way. But I particularly encourage you to do this, that I might be restored to you sooner. Number five, Yahweh gives meat and bread, and people still grumble and said, is El able to set a table in the wilderness? Listen, he rained meat and bread from heaven, and yet they still grumble. And that's what they wanted. They grumble. They was grumbling because they didn't have it, and when they got it, they still grumble. And said, is El able to set a table in the wilderness? Exodus 16, verses 8 through 23. 8 through 23. And Moshe said, In that Yah gives you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to satisfaction. For Yah hears your grumblings again, which you make against him. You're not making it against your leaders. You're making it against him. Notice he's going to give them bread in the morning, and he's going to give them meat in the evening. And what are we? Your grumblings are not against us, but against Yah. And Moshe said to Aharon, say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before Yah, for he has heard your grumblings. Moshe said, come near. He's about to do something. Come see, for he has heard your grumblings. And it came to be as Aaron spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, that they look toward the wilderness and see the esteem. They're going to see and see the glory of Yah appeared in the cloud. And Yah spoke to Moshe, saying, I have heard the grumblings of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, between the evenings you are to eat meat, and in the morning you are to be satisfied with bread. And you shall know that I am Yah, your Elohim. As if they didn't know, for some reason they forgot the signs and wonders he did for them in Egypt. Then they're traveling through the Red Sea, parted the Red Sea. They walked through it. He says, and you shall know that I am Yah, your Elohim. And it came to be that quails came up at evening and covered the camp. And in the morning, the dew lay all around the camp. And the layer of the dew went up, and see, on the surface of the wilderness was a small, round substance as fine as frost on the ground. And the children of Israel saw, and they said to each other, what is it? What is it? They didn't even, for they did not know what it was. They didn't even know what it was. And Moshe said to them, it is the bread which Yah has given you to eat. He wanted to be very clear. Moses wanted them to know, it is the bread that, not, I didn't give it to y'all. Yah has given you to eat. Numbers 11, 18 through 23. And say to the people, set yourselves apart for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat, because you have wept in the hearing of Yah, saying, who is giving us meat to eat? For it was well with us in Mizraim. It was well with us in Egypt. And Yah shall give you meat, and you shall eat. They asked him, who's giving us meat? Just hold on a second. Yah's about to give y'all some serious meat. You are going to eat, notice, not one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days. Y'all want meat? I'm about to give y'all some meat. But for a new moon of days, for 1 month, a whole month, I'm going to give y'all quail to eat for a month. I'm about to give it to y'all. Y'all want it? Y'all want y'all desire instead of my desire? Until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes an abomination to you because you have rejected Yah who is among you and have wept before him saying, why did we come up out of Mizraim? Why did we leave Egypt? We don't have no water. We don't have no meat. We had pots of meat. But the bondage, they forgot about the bondage and the slavery he delivered them from. He said, I'm about to give y'all meat for a whole month. It's going to come out. Y'all going to eat and lust so much after this meat. It's going to come out your nostrils. And Moshe said, the people in whose midst I am are, notice, 600,000 men on foot. That's just men. So just think if half of those men had wives. That's 900,000. And their kids. So we're talking about probably 2.5 million people. And he's giving them meat for a month? He's feeding that many people for a month. 600,000 men on foot and you have said, I give them meat to eat for a new moon of days. Notice Moshe, he's kind of got a little doubting going on. He said, Yahweh, there's 600,000 men and women, not counting the women and children. And you're saying you're going to give them meat to eat for a month? Could flocks and herds be slain for them to be sufficient for them? Or could all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to be sufficient for them? That's a good question. You think, after 40 years of hearing people grumbling, you know, Moses has kind of got a little doubt going on himself. Can you really do it with this many people? And Yah said to Moshe, is the arm of Yah too short? Now see whether my word meets you or not. What he told him, is my arm too short? I'm God. I created this whole universe. Did you forget the signs and one Moses that I just did for them? Look in Numbers 23:19. El is not a man to lie. If he say he's going to give them bread for 30 days, guess what? He's going to give them bread for 30 days, quail and meat and bread for 30 days. Nor a son of man to repent. Has he said, and would he not do it? Or spoken, and would not confirm it? If he said it, he's going to do it. If he spoke it, he's going to confirm it. Numbers 11:31-34. And a wind went forth from Yah, and it brought quail from the sea, and let them fall beside the camp about a day's journey. That's about 24 miles, a day's journey. If you're traveling on foot, 24 miles, you can travel as a day. On this side, and about a day's journey on the other side. So notice, they're in the camp, they're at camp. They look this way, a whole day's journey, quail. They look that way, a whole day's journey, quail. All around the camp, about 2 cubits. That's about 3 feet. 3 feet of quail above the surface of the ground. So you're talking about 3 feet of quail. Can you imagine walking 24 miles to the left of you, 24 miles to the right, around the camp, in front, behind you, and you got 24 miles of quail 3 foot deep? He wasn't playing when he said, I'm going to give them meat. They want meat. I'm going to give them meat to where it's coming out their nostrils. That's a lot of quail. And the people were up all that day, 12 hours. All that night, 24 hours. And all the next day, 36 hours up straight, gathering the quail. 600,000 men, not counting the women and children, gathering quail. Just piles and piles of meat. Who had least gathered 10 homers And they spread them out for themselves all around the camp. The meat was still between their teeth before it was chewed, and the wrath of Yah burned against the people, and Yah struck the people an exceeding great plague. Then he called the name of that place Kibroth Hattaavah, because they were buried. There they buried the people who had lusted. They was eating, lusting, until where it was still in between their teeth as they was chewing, and God killed them. Notice their desire. I want, I need. And he's going to give you your wants and your needs. He's going to let them have you. But what that water was bitter when they went to it. They couldn't even drink it. We want water. Be careful. Let his desire be your desire. Yeshua was the same. He lived perfect. You know, he went to the garden and he prayed. Let this cup pass from me, not my will, but thy will be done. His desire. He didn't want his desire. He wanted the Father's desire. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the reign of Elohim? Do not be deceived, neither those who whore, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor infamite, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor greedy of gain, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the reign of Elohim. Notice what don't inherit the reign of Elohim. You see that a lot going on in our world today. We got to turn back to him. And such were some of you. Amen. Such were some of us. But here's one of those buts that you want. But you, but me, were washed. But you were set apart. But you were declared right in the name of the Master Yeshua and by the Spirit of our Elohim. Hallelujah. That worse, we were them. We were the thieves and the greedy of gain and the drunkards. But with praise Yah, we were washed, set apart. We are set apart. And what's set apart is when you're doing his ways. Don't look right to the world. But it ain't supposed to look right to them, as long as it look right to the Father. We are set apart, but you are declared right. I'm so thankful that I'm declared right in the name of the Master Yeshua and by the Spirit of our Elohim. And that's what that Spirit that we're counting down to. That Spirit, that same Spirit that he's going to pour out on us at Shavuot. Listen, that's an anticipation. I'm expecting that when we come together. If all this is over and we get to come here collectively as the whole body and prepare ourselves for Shavuot, it's going to be an awesome time come Shavuot. Psalm 78, 10 through 32. They did not guard the covenant of Elohim. Notice. They did not guard his covenant. They refused to walk in his Torah. They forgot his deeds and his wonders which he had shown to them. And listen, let's not get nothing twisted. You know, we're saying, oh, these Israelites, though his people, we his people, we his Israelites. Apply this to our life. Because listen, we broke his covenant. We did not walk in his ways and in his Torah. We forgot his good deeds and his wonders, which we had shown to them. Listen, there was times in my life where you're out of your mind. You're so full of drugs that you don't even know how you get home. I can't tell you the times of my life that happened. And then you come down and you get your little feel good, but then you forget the good deeds because you go back right back to the same ways. I forgot his covenant, his wonders that he's shown me. He showed me that his hand was upon my life traveling when I was out of my mind and didn't even know. His hand was upon me. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to protect you. But you forget those. So we can sit here and say, oh, boy, them people are some hard-headed people. Guess what? We some hard-headed people. No different. No different. But God. Thank God for that but God moment. Amen. Where we were washed and set apart and declared right. He did wonders in the sight of their fathers in the land. Verse 12, 78, 12, Psalms. He did wonders in the sight of their fathers in the land of Mizraim, in the field of Soan. He split the sea. Listen what he did, and they forgot about that. He split the sea and caused them to pass through it. He made the water stand up like a heap. And led them with the cloud by day and all the night with a light of fire. Can you imagine being led? You seeing his glory. You seeing the esteem. It's a cloud in the daytime. And it's fire at night. It's light illuminating. Illuminating your path. And they forgot that. And so did we. And led them with the cloud by day and all night with the light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness and made them drink as from the great depths. And brought forth streams from the rock and caused waters to come down as rivers. Yet they sinned still against him. To rebel against the Most High in the desert place. And they tried El in their hearts by asking food according to their desire. They tried him by asking him for food for their desire. You know, I don't trust. They said, I don't trust. I forgot what he did for me in Egypt. You don't think he can provide for me here in this wilderness? And listen, the wilderness is a dry place. But who's our provider? Who's our giver? It says, and yet they sinned still more against him to rebel against the Most High in the desert. And they tried El, and listen where they tried him at, in their hearts. Verse 19, 18, and they tried El in their hearts by asking food according to their desire, and they spoke against Elohim. They said, is El able to set a table in the wilderness? Is El able to set a table in the wilderness? As a believer, when you know, someone asks us, is your God able to provide? Especially in times like what we're going through. People might ask you, y'all worried? No, I'm not. No, I'm not worried. And I'm really not. Because one thing, it don't matter if I have to lose something. If I lose something, it's because he allowed it to be lost. And don't think for one minute that if he allows you to lose something, that he can't bless you twice as more when he gives it back to you. That's how I look at things. And that's how I tell people when I talk to. When they ask me at work, I'm not worried. I'm not. I really ain't. I'm really not. Because if you focus on the circumstance, it will bring doubt in your heart. And you got to let them know. When they ask you, absolutely he's able. Yes, he's able to deliver. Yes, he's able to provide for me. He's able and he will. He's able and he will. Because if you focus on the circumstance, it will bring doubt in your heart. And when you bring doubt in your heart, there goes unbelief, and there goes a falling away. Ephesians 3:20, and to him who is able to do exceedingly above what we ask or think, according to the power that is working in us. And that power is his set apart spirit that is working in us. And that's what we count down to the Shavuot, for a refilling of his set apart spirit. And we don't know how bad we need that refilling. Matthew 6, 9 through 13. This then is the way you should pray. This is Yeshua. Listen to the words of our Master. Our Father who is in the heavens, let your name be set apart. There's no other name above his name. Let your name be set apart, Yah. Let your reign come. Let your desire be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not my desire. I want your desire. I want his desire. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into trial, but deliver us from the wicked one, because yours is the reign and the power and the esteem forever. Amen. Yours is the reign and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Psalm 78:20. Look, he struck the rock so that the water gushed out and the streams overflow. Is he able to give bread also? Would he provide meat for his people? Verse 21, therefore Yah heard, and he was wroth. Yah heard all that grumbling, he was angry. So a fire was kindled against Yaakov, and displeasure also came up against Israel, because they did not believe in Elohim, neither did they trust in his deliverance. Notice when you don't believe in him and when you don't trust him. A fire is kindled. He's wroth. He's angry. Yet he had commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of the heavens. And he rained down man on them to eat. And he gave them the grain of the heavens. Can you imagine the heavens opening up and he rained down manna? Men ate bread of the mighty. He sent them provisions to satisfaction. He made an east wind blow in the heavens, and by his power he brought in the south wind. And he rained meat on them like the dust, and winged birds like the sand of the seas, and let them fall in the midst of his camp all around his dwelling place. So they ate and were completely satisfied, for he brought them what they desire. They had not turned away from their desire. Their food was still in their mouths. Still in Psalm 78, 30, 31. When the wrath of Elohim came against them, and he killed among their fat ones, and he struck down the choice ones of Israel. Their food was still in their mouth. He gave them. They wanted it. He opened up the heavens, and he poured it down like rain. Can you imagine seeing quail? If you walk outside and just raining quail? Because they wanted their desire. They did not trust and obey him. Verse 32, in spite of all this, they still sinned and did not believe in his wonders. Number 6, Yah explained the Sabbath and how to gather their bread twice as much on the sixth day. Exodus 16, 16 through 20. This is the word which Yah has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need, an omer for each being according to the number of beings. Let every man take for those who are in his tent. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And they measured it by omers. And he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. Each one gathered according to his need. And Moshe said, let no one leave any of it until morning. And they did not listen to Moshe, so some of them left part of it to mourning, and it bred worms and stink, and Moshe was wroth with them. Notice what happens with disobedience. When you don't obey, it bred worms and stink. So you can think that you're doing, you can justify that I'm doing something, you know, what I'm doing is right for the Lord. You know, oh, it's what he's asking me to do. But if you disobey when doing it, it stinks. It stinks. And they gathered it every morning, each one according to his need. And when the sun became hot, it melted. And it came to be on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moshe. And he said to them, this is what Yah has said. Tomorrow is a rest, a Sabbath set apart to Yah. Sabbath is set apart to Yah. That which you bake, bake, and that which you cook, cook, and lay up for yourselves all that is left over to keep it until morning. Notice when he says you're allowed to keep it till morning, it'll last. He'll preserve it. But when he says only keep it for one day, keep it for one day. And they laid it up until morning as Moshe commanded, and it did not stink, and no worm was in it. And Moshe said, eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to Yah. Today you do not find it in the field. Gather it 6 days, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, there is none. And it came to be that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. They found none on that seventh day, because it's his day. He said, rest, gather. You got 6 days to gather. And Yah said to Moshe, how long shall you refuse to guard my commands and my Torah? How long are we going to refuse to guard his commands and his Torah? See, because Yah has given you the Sabbath, therefore he has given you bread for 2 days. On the sixth day, let each one stay in his place. Do not let anyone go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. He's given us 6 days. He said, but rest on that seventh day. Trust that I'm going to provide for you. In Exodus 31, 12 through 18, it says, and Yah spoke to Moshe, saying, and you speak to the children of Israel, saying, my Sabbaths you are to guard by all means. My Sabbaths you are to guard by every mean necessary. You are to guard those. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations to know that I, Yah, am setting you apart. And you shall guard the Sabbath, for it is set apart to you. Everyone who profanes it shall certainly be put to death. For anyone who does work on it, that being shall be cut off from among his people. Notice on that, listen, doing Shabbat service, you set apart. People want to, nobody's doing this that we know of, you know, around our areas. You know, you can go online and you see different ones coming back to the truth, coming back to the Torah, and they're keeping his Shabbat. He says, because I am setting you apart. It's a sign for me and you. It's a sign for me and you throughout your generations. 6 days work is done, and on the seventh is a Sabbath of rest, set apart to Yah. Everyone doing work on a Sabbath day shall certainly be put to death. And the children of Israel shall guard the Sabbath, to perform the Sabbath throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. How long? Everlasting. Between me and the children of Israel is a sign forever. For in 6 days Yah made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. He did it as just to show us. Yahweh didn't need a rest. He needed some slumbers, no sleeps, the scripture said. But he modeled it for us. And when he had ended speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moshe 2 tablets of witnesses, tablets of stone, written with the finger of Elohim. Hallelujah. So that's all I have for today. And that was the Counting the Omer of part two. And I just want to say I thank y'all and love y'all and appreciate y'all. And I hope y'all were encouraged. Be encouraged and encourage one another. Encourage one another. That's what the scripture tells us to do. We don't have to fear of what's going on. Let's not forget who he is. Yah can and Yah will. He will provide for us. Remember that Psalms 91? He said that pestilence will not come near your tent. It ain't coming in your house. It ain't coming in your families. So let's be encouraged. Let's be encouraged to one another. Let's be in prayer for one another. Be in prayer for our pastors. Be in prayer for our leaders. Not only in the body of Christ, but our leaders out in, over this country, over this world, over this parish. Let's be in prayer for them. Amen. So thank y'all again. And can't wait to see y'all. And Shabbat Shalom. We love y'all. Amen.